Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Today we're going to get in God's Word. We've started John, and we spent a couple weeks looking at chapter 1, and we're going to pause before we go into chapter 2. I know everyone's biting at the bit to keep going, do it, go, let's run, take the harness off. But as we were finishing chapter 1, I was looking at the phrase that John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And I wanted to just pause there for a while today, because last week we concluded to know and to recognize God, to worship God for who He is apart from what He does. He does so much, doesn't He? And so many times we relate to Him with what He does. And there was that song I reminded you of. It says, "I seek your face, not only your hand." And so I challenge you to pray to Him this week, who He is. And as we're even reading Chronicles chapter 29, "And you, O Lord, are great. You, O Lord, are majestic." And we're looking at who He is. But I also today want to look at His name. I want to look at the name of the Lord, because as I look at the name of the Lord, He does not separate His relationship with His people with who He is. I think of Moses when he said, "Lord, I know your name. Now I want to see your face. I want a face behind a name." He had the name, but before he had the name, Moses said, "Lord, who do I say sent you? Who do I say sent me? Who should I say?" And what did God say? "My name is
I am."
I am. I love that. What a name. "Well, you are what?" "Well, what do you need?" I am. Self-existing, I am. I've been thinking about names. My name is David. But to my children, father, dad, daddy. My daughter's been calling me Poppy. And my name, Daddy, kind of really tells you not only who I am, but what I do. I father, I secure, I protect, I provide. But it also invokes the idea of relationship, the idea of interaction between me and my children. You know, when we say, "Our Father, who art in heaven," where we are placing ourselves in that prayer in the fact that we're calling Him our Father. There's a relationship there. And does the Father want so much to continue and to build on that personal relationship that we first found when we came to Christ. And He wants to build on that. And this morning, I really want to be looking at just four names. And these four names, I think, are going to reveal some of the character and the nature of God that He has for His people. Because it is, I want to know you who you are, not just what you do, but as I look at His name, He includes us. He includes His character. And the first one I want to look at is the name that we see in Genesis 1. It's the name Elohim. Interesting name. In the beginning, God created. The word's Elohim. And the reason I find that to be an interesting name to look at, to start at, is because it's an interesting name. "Hi, my name is Elohim." No, it's not. There's only one Elohim. The word El, or the name El, is God. It's singular. God. We'll see El Shaddai, God Almighty. But so El is the singular form of God. Elo, spelled E-L-O-A-H, Elo. It's the dual form. We don't have too many dual forming words. There's the word couple. But we don't have dual form words for people like they do here. And so Elo is the dual form of El, and Elohim is the plural form. It's a compound unity, Elohim. We see it in the great Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And within that phrase, in that statement, it's amazing because it says, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, Elohim, Akkad, Yahweh." He says, Yahweh, self-existing one, Elohim, compound unity, three or more, is one, Akkad. Akkad is one, but it literally, again, also is a compound unity. It's a compound. So you have a self-existing one who is a multifaceted God who is a compound unity. What this speaks to me in the very name is relationship and fellowship. Within the Godhead, we have a relationship and fellowship seen there with the Father, with the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's no chaos. There's no crazy uncle, no weird family reunion, you know. Man, I wouldn't visit my outlaws. None of that. There's fellowship, there's unity, and there's relationship. You know, it's so good to come and to hear the body fellowshipping, more than just talking, but sharing. You know, that time of prayer, hearing the different needs. I asked the guys, would you pray for me? I'm kind of shaking here. Dan's leaving. I've got this angst, you know, whether it's adrenaline or I'm just super excited that the room's finally empty or I don't know. I need prayer. My emotions are out of line. But as they're praying for me, I'm listening and I can hear the fellowship. And isn't that interesting that the word says our fellowship is truly with the Father? Our fellowship is with the Father. Why? Because that's his character and his nature is harmony and fellowship and unity. It's relational. I was talking to a brother just the other night that relationships demand vulnerability, don't they? For us to really be close, we have to expose ourselves. And you even see that within the Godhead of this vulnerability. Yes, El Shaddai, God Almighty, but what did he do in the garden? He gave Adam choice. He let go. I'm learning from this. He let go and let Adam make his decision. Even if that decision was against the will of God, he let him go. He allowed himself to be vulnerable. I think of the Son. Think with me, being in the Godhead in heaven of all eternity, and then being in nature, God became in the form man, even and was obedient, even to the point of death. He was exposed to elements. Imagine being born. I mean, today it's, oh, I hope everything's great. Wow, she was Daniel. Jesus was born in a barn. Exposed to all of this stuff. We're so antibacterial, aren't we? I mean, whether it's the soap or the lotion. But he was born in a barn, exposed himself really not to germs, but to sin. He allowed himself to be beaten. He was vulnerable. And even the Holy Spirit allows himself to be vulnerable. You might ask, well, how is the Holy Spirit vulnerable? Does it not say, do not grieve or quench the Holy Spirit? He allows us this free will that we could actually grieve him or quench the power that he wants to do within the body. He's a gentleman. There's this relationship that happens. And so today as we look at Elohim, I see fellowship and relationship. As I see that characteristic in the Father, I only expect that he would want that within the body. This fellowship, this relationship to truly be there. There's the name Elroy. Interesting name. You might remember back when God told Abram that he would be a father of a multitude. And Abram got to be old before the name change. And Abram had a wife by the name of Sarai. And they said, well, nothing's happening. What should we do? And Sarai said, I got an idea. And that's when Abram went, I don't think that's a good idea. I've got this maidservant named Hagar. You have a relationship with her, and the son will be my son. Bad idea. At any rate, the moment she conceived, Sarai or Hagar looked at Sarai with indignance. So you're pregnant now. Look what I got. And I don't know if Hagar was upset because look what you did to me, or look how fruitful I am and you're not. But there was some friction. And Sarah came up to Abram and said, what do I do? And he said, she's your maidservant. Do what you like. And she was harsh to her. She was mean to her. And she ran off into the wilderness. And there the angel of the Lord met with her and said, you're with child. And I'll make him a great nation. He'll be wild, but I'll make him a great nation. Go back and serve your maidservant. Go back and, serve Sarah. Go back. And what did she call him? El Roy. You, O God, see me. You see me. And not only do you see me, but I saw you. You see, you perceive, you considered me. As I've been reading the Old Testament, my morning read has been in Chronicles lately. And over, David's like, who am I that you would consider me? I can't even believe you would choose a ruddy kid like me to be king. And here Hagar, a pregnant maidservant in a weird relationship with her master and her mistress. And there the Lord speaks to her and says, I see you and I know you and I understand you. There are times when in our Christian walk, we just like, nobody really gets me. You know, I remember when Jeff was diagnosed with cancer, the only things I had is, I can't even imagine what you're going through. I'm not even try to relate. But yet God says, I know you, Jeff. I know you. I know your future. And if you know Jeff's testimony, the Lord said, I've created a sunrise for you. That stuck with me. God has created a sunrise for us. He knows our beginning. He knows our end. He knows us. He sees us. And so I see El Roy in his name. The nature that I see from the Father is that he understands me and he knows me. Doesn't justify if I'm feeling grouchy or irritable. You know, I think back with me with the prophet. Which one was it? They're all crazy. Elijah. I'm the only one, Lord. I'm the only one. And what did God do? God met him in a cave. God let him see the fire and the wind and the storm, but then it's still a small voice. Hey, I'm here. Didn't justify him, but God knows and God sees. I love that about the Lord. He sees me. Now that can bring warmth or it can bring a chill down your back. If you're sitting here today and you feel alone, understand that God sees you and he understands you. But if you're sitting here today and you're in secret sin, God knows you and he sees you. And not to condemn you, but to heal you and to remove that. God knows me. David would say, where can I hide? Where can I go that you cannot find me? God sees. Jehovah Jireh, Genesis 22. Thereafter, Abraham had his son Isaac. The Lord asks him to take his son, his only son, to Mount Moriah and to offer him unto the Lord. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could. I'd love to say, oh, yeah. It's hard enough letting my son go to the Marine Corps. Touch my son and I'll touch you back. But here, they're heading out, and they have the wood, they have the fire, and Isaac's like, Dad, where's the lamb? And Abraham looks at his son and says, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. Not provide for himself, he will provide himself a lamb. And we would know that there at Mount Moriah would also be the very place that would be known as Calvary or Golgotha, where Jesus, the Lamb of God, was offered. But there is, which is interesting to the story, we always think of this young boy, a young adolescent. But really, as you look at Scripture, Isaac was probably in his 30s. Probably could have taken his dad down. Get that off of me. What do you think you're doing? Obedient. Obedient son. And if this is right, and I love what the author of Hebrews says. He's concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. God said that he was going to make a multitude, nations, from the seed of this one that you're asking me to offer. Lord, I have to trust you on your word. When I look at Jehovah Jireh, I really think that deals with trust. Jehovah Jireh. When they left from the mountain, in the New King James, it says, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Is that not the case? On the mount of the Lord that Jesus was crucified, he paid the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me on Calvary. But let me read it to you in a different translation. This is the King James, and it says, and Abram called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. You see, Jireh, the R-E-H, is the same root as the R-O-I of El Roy. It shall be seen. Basically saying, well, God will see to it. God will provide. He sees the need and fills the need. I love that about the Lord. He not only sees what I'm hurting, but he provides what is needed. Jehovah Jireh. He provides, but he sees it. And so many times say, Lord, you don't see this. Yeah, he does. But not only does he see it, but he provides for the need. He's the God of provision, but he's also the God of vision. He sees and he provides. On the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. It shall be provided. And it deals with trust. It deals with trusting the Lord. Sometimes the Lord provides something for me, and I say, Lord, it's not enough. And that song, your grace is for him. No, for me, it's sufficient. It's more than sufficient. And sometimes I balk at what's provided, but it's more than enough. It's what his will is all about, that I would trust him in it. The Lord allows things to happen in my life, provides, he actually provides the need in the first place. He causes the need to happen that I would reach out to him. As I look at myself, I'm a needy man. Recognize how small and how insignificant I am, yet I can look into the Word and say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ. And so Jehovah Jireh, he sees the need and he sees to it, and I can trust him on that. I don't know where we are today in our walk. We're all on different walk, a different road. The race that God has placed before you, trust him in what he provides for you. His name speaks of provision. His name speaks of trust. One of the names probably one of the most popular names, the most well-named names of the Father is Jehovah Rapha. I love that one, Jehovah Rapha. Okay, so let's go ahead and fast forward from Abraham, and we're going to get into the days of Moses. They cross over the Red Sea. They cross over, Miriam grabs her tambourine, and she starts singing a song, and everyone's celebrating. His grace is enough. And then finally, they leave the edge of the Red Sea, and they take off, and they get into the desert, and they're getting hot, and oh, look, there's water. And they come to the place that's called, well, they named it Mara. Do you remember why they named it Mara? They couldn't drink it. It was bitter water. Then they said, your grace is not enough. Your grace is not enough. And they got angry with the Lord. And the Lord showed Moses a tree to throw into the water, and it would make it sweet, palatable. Not just palatable, sweet, refreshing, good. And they took it in. But it was at that place of Marah, where he says the Lord tested them. And he says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what's right in his sight, I will put none of the diseases on you which have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. They knew of the affliction the Egyptians had. They just saw these plagues after plagues and boils after bugs, water turning to blood, darkness and light. And God said, I am the Lord that heals you. If you heed me, this relationship is going on. I don't know what your hurts are or your wounds, the distresses, your afflictions. We say, we look back at Isaiah 53 and we say, by his stripes, we were healed. And God does heal. God raises from the dead. God heals the lame. He gives sight to the blind. But interesting, the context of this test at Mara, the whole context is that a tree was thrown in bitter water to make it sweet. He made a picture, a visual for them, because some wounds aren't really exterior wounds, but they're internal. Some of us are bitter inside. Maybe we're upset with what's been provided, or we're upset with our neighbor, our brother, and we become bitter. Anyone ever been bitter? I forget who said it. We've all quoted it. Bitterness is taking poison and waiting for the other guy to die. I don't know who said it. I think the guy's dead now. He took too much poison. But bitterness is, it's horrible. And this is a picture. This is a picture of the tree of Calvary thrown into a bitter life, made sweet again. It's a picture that God heals the bitterness of a life, and it's the cross, it's the tree of Calvary that would be thrown into that life. And when the cross is inserted into one's life, it takes the bitterness away. Doesn't necessarily make it easy. They were still in the wilderness. It was still dry. But there was living water. That water was made fresh again. And if you're sitting here or you're listening, or maybe you're in a place of difficulty, he's Jehovah Rapha. He heals. He heals the lame. He heals the brokenhearted, and he heals the bitter life. And it's the cross. It's the tree of Calvary that's thrown in that changes it. I was listening to a guy recently talking about sin. And just how saturated we are on it, in it. That we're born in sin, and yet the cross of Calvary is so huge. We almost just, I don't want to say disregard, I don't think we understand the weight of it. The beauty of what was given upon it. People will tell me that Jesus is my crutch, and I say, oh no, he's not my crutch. He's my wheelchair, my hospital. He's my oxygen tank. In him is life, and he was the light of men. He's the lifeline. Jesus, Jehovah Rapha. It speaks of healing, exterior, interior healing. He's the God who heals. I love that. It's the tree of Calvary. And then in Psalm 23, we see another name being given to him. It's called Jehovah Ra'a. I don't know what's with the R's, but Jehovah Ra'a is the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord just isn't a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A shepherd feeds and pastors, keeps, protects. That word shepherd really has to do also with companion. He's a friend. You've heard the songs or the phrases, he's a friend of sinners. He is a companion to lead you out of sin, to walk with you in the pain. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because he is my shepherd, I lie down in green pastures. Interesting, I lie down in green pastures. I think of these big Iowa fields of hay, of green pastures. Do you know what the green pastures look like out there in the desert? They look like desert with little bites, little bits of green. And basically it's, I've got you now, and you have to trust me for tomorrow. And we think of, well, what about those lush? We wouldn't need him, would we? But he lets me lie down in green pastures, these little bites, these little tufts of green. And you know what? Tomorrow is sufficient for its own problems. But today, I'm covered and I'm secure, and his grace is enough. Jehovah Rapha, my shepherd, tends to me. It was Jesus who would strip himself down and wash feet. Because what was needed was my feet needed to be washed. Peter didn't get it, but he said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part from me. You have to let me do this. You know the story. Peter's like, well, then, hey, my head, my whole body. And Jesus said, please put that back on. It's okay, just your feet. You stepped in something. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Roy, Jireh, Rapha or Ra'ah, he sees, he provides, he heals, and he tends. Guys, do you see the relationship that God desires to have with us? This personal relationship. He's not this distant, non-participating deity. He is an ever-present Lord in our time of need. He's right here. He relates with his people. And as I look at Christ, the Lamb of God, John said, behold, the Lamb of God, who is the express image of the Father. He's the glory of his brightness. And he declares the Father to us even through his name. Jesus or Yeshua, Joshua. Yahweh saves. He's the light of the world, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Son of God, the Son of man. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. As I look at this passage here, behold the Lamb of God, I realize that God desires a relationship, fellowship, and connection with us. I was watching a video recently, and this gal was talking about this trip she had over to, I think she said she was in Italy, and going into these old shops, coming in and out, and it was great. She says the historical value was fantastic. But as she was in downtown or wherever she was at, she can always hear this dog yapping, the same dog, and just yap, 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 yap. And she goes in, and she's looking at some cool stuff, and she comes out, and this dog is yapping, and then she goes to another, you know, really great Italian restaurant. I think it's Little Caesars. And she's getting, she comes back out, and that dog is yap, 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 yap. And finally she says, I've got to see what is wrong with this dog. You know, there's something wrong. And she goes down, and she goes around a corner, and there on the ground is this poor gal who had fallen. She has blood on her head, and people are starting to gather around her. And there running around this woman on a leash is this little dog. And just freaking out and running around, and something is wrong. And it's yappity, 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 yappity. And everyone's just kind of like getting all the information as they're watching. And before anyone really does anything, the woman comes down and she grabs the leash, and immediately the dog stopped because it was connection with her master. And when the Lord finally connects with us, the yappity yap of life around us stops, because I know that he sees me. I know that he knows me. He sees the need and he tends to the need. He restores me. God desires to have this personal relationship. And we all know that. We all talk about a personal relationship. I want to just encourage you to grow that personal relationship. To let it grow, to continue to grow with your Heavenly Father, with your loving Savior, with the Holy Spirit, that you would grow with that personal relationship with the Lord. It's important. As I was driving to church today, I was reminded of Psalm 138 that says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your word above your name. As I look at the name of God, I can't help but look at Jesus Christ, the Word, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. And the Father magnifies the Word above His name. And I just think that today, as we are studying and looking at the name of God, we will find His truth in the Word of God. One of the reasons we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, that we wouldn't miss anything under any leaf, under any branch. We're like we're picking fruit. I don't want to miss anything. So in your bulletin today, we're going to do something a little bit different. I promise next week we'll get into chapter 2. On the back of your bulletin, it was printed out, names of the Father, not all of them, some of them. Names of the Son, not all of them, some of them. And what I'd like us to do is we have 9 minutes until when we have as much time as we want. But here's the thing. The whole point of today was to know His name. When I was sitting with my kids in the hot tub recently, I asked them, I said, why is it so important for me to know the name of God? Why is that important? And Becca said, well, what kind of relationship would you have if you didn't know their name? Hey, dude, you know, you can only do that so long until they realize you don't know who I am. And I say that here, there's so many times I'll meet someone new and it's like, gosh, how you doing, guy? Man, I wish I could remember your name. And then Larkin piped up and said, well, how do we know whose word we're reading if we don't know His name? I said, good point. Good point. And I want to tell you, His name is important. And I'm just going to go on record, because it's out there, that Yahweh is not Allah. Different names. And you need to know it's not the same person. As we look at the nature and the character of Yahweh, it is not the nature and character of Allah. Granted, in the Arabic language, I know there's no other name for God other than Allah. God bless you. It does not equate Yahweh. It does not equate to Yahweh. So when you are exposed to that, I'm not saying you need to be combatant. You need to understand. Hear, O Lighthouse, the Lord our God is one Lord. His name's Yahweh, or Anglicized, it's Jehovah, or Jesus, or Joshua. Yahweh saves. I love that. And I only say that just because right now we live in a dark time. Know His name. Know His character. The Word says, my sheep will know my voice and will follow me. You know what's true. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time here in corporate prayer. And we've provided some names of God, and I would like it, I call it popcorn prayer. That means that it's all you get. You don't get 10 minutes, Tony. You get just a bite, man. And so, did he just say tri-tip? So, amen. What you get is a bite. So, popcorn prayer would be like saying something like this. Lord, you are Jehovah Rapha. You healed my heart. And then someone else can say, yes, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I agree. And I know for some of you, it's hard to pray out loud. But get over it. I don't want to shun anybody or push anyone off the edge. I don't want to make anyone compelled to do something they don't want to do. I want to encourage you. The Word calls a sacrifice of praise means I praise the Lord even when it's difficult to sacrifice. And I would just for a few minutes, I'll lead by example, and then I'll close. And as we're praying, I just would like you guys just to take in his name and his nature, that you would know him, that you would understand him, that your relationship, your personal walk with him would grow, that you would mature to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Do you guys understand what we're going to be doing here for the next couple of minutes? If there's any question, this would be a great time to raise your hand if you don't know. Okay, good. So we're just going to take a couple of minutes, and I asked Mike just to play very quietly, and I just want you just to pray. And you can pray quietly in your heart, but as the Lord leaves, call upon the name of the Lord. The word says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, you are Father. You relate with your children, and today we exalt you. I pray for this group of people that you would continue to make yourself known to us in deeper ways that we can run and not grow weary. And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you of these things. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Lord, you reign and you shine, and we magnify you. We are at awe with who you are. We testify that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it is true, there are many names for you, but it all points to one God, the one true and living God. Blessed are you, Lord God. Yours is greatness and power and glory, victory and majesty. And so we give you the sacrifice of our praise, and we acknowledge you, and we would ask that you to continue to grow us, Lord, as we abide in your word, and your word abides in us, that we would bear fruit to the glory of the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.